So we are in the midst of a series on collective consciousness. What is collective consciousness, you know? So that's the topic. And today's topic is the humanity's role in altering, changing collective consciousness. And this is a subject which I've been very, very fond of for a long time, but lately, you know, even more. And therefore, let me create a context for those of you who are here first time, you know, in this seminar. Needless to say that we are part of a much bigger consciousness. Normally, in political arena, people talk about us being part of, quote, global family. That's very wonderful concept, no doubt, and very truthful. What gets left out is many, many other aspects of our interconnectedness with the rest of the world, with other aspects of the creation. That is, what about us being part of an ideological connectedness, philosophical, not just economical or political, but rather ideological, environmental? What about being part of the consciousness itself which makes us human? What about being part of that fundamental emotions which we as human beings share in common? All children in the world grow in similar fashion. All of them go through a process of their physical, psychological, emotional, intellectual growth and development. And what is our role as individuals to make sure that process which allows babies all over the world to grow somewhat in quite similar manner? Children of poor and rich, children of whites and blacks, children of Asians or let's say Caucasians. No? All of them grow exactly in the same manner. All of them find the greatest safety and security is not in what we find or at least expect from our governments, from our churches and mosques and temples, but the greatest safety and security a baby child feels when that baby is held close to the bosom of his or her mother. That nourishment that comes from that warmth of mother, that nourishment doesn't come from anywhere else in the world. Now, when we talk about collective consciousness, what is the role of individuals to make sure that mother's fundamental emotions and sentiments are healthy and very well preserved, which they can spontaneously share with their babies? There are times when a mother's mother who is shattered long before she becomes mother, children growing in such families will have very difficult time in associating themselves with the bigger consciousness of which they are part of. Okay. I can go on giving you numberless examples that when we talk about collective consciousness, it's a very, very, very big subject. And definitely it is very inappropriate to even compare it with mob mentality. Collective consciousness association with mob mentality is a complete disrespect and dishonor to the word collective consciousness. It is a very lofty subject. In my first lecture, in my first session, I went through somewhat little bit heavy duty philosophical, metaphysical discussion on this subject, where we looked at the collective consciousness in relation to Ishvara, quote, God, Prakriti, the primordial nature. And there we looked at that how collective consciousness pervades, permeates entire universe. There is an overarching consciousness which includes all of us from a tiny speck of dust, from atomic and subatomic particles, all the way to the mighty stars and galaxies. Everything is an integral part of that collective consciousness. And there is that collective consciousness that nourishes, that sustains, that provides, you know, guidance, that maintains law and order. And thus, there is a force that collective consciousness presents, that there is a force that far supersedes so-called law of gravity, the blind law, which according to the modern science makes sure that our planets remain wherever they are, stars remain wherever they are, but rather there is far, far, far high above that so-called the force of the electromagnetic fields, the force of magnetism, the force of gravity, etc., nuclear force. Beyond all these forces, there is a force of intelligence that guides, governs, makes sure that these so-called forces of physics must continue doing the way they are supposed to do, must continue doing what they are supposed to do. That intelligence is bigger than the object that it knows. Because that which you know fits in your head, fits in your mind, your head, non-physical dimension of it I'm talking about, is bigger than your computer, bigger than the entire concept of Google and Facebook. If we come to know what this planet is all about, automatically this planet will be smaller than the one who knew it, knows it. Or any portion of this planet, whether it is single cell organism or a gigantic ocean. The moment we come to know, automatically it means it is able to fit in the field of our intelligence. And what does it mean? The object contained, the container that contains the object is bigger than the object contained in it. No? Does it make sense? Last time we discussed that there is definitely something wrong. Something not so healthy, even if it's not wrong, then at least There is no debate about whether or not there is something unhealthy in our collective consciousness. The consciousness of the planet, consciousness of the humanity. There is definitely something has gone wrong when it comes to, let's say, putting together or putting aside some money that is for feeding poor, for example, providing education to the underprivileged people. It takes like it's constant uphill battle to collect pennies. Many of you who have been here and have not been abroad, and especially those who have not seen the developing countries, third world countries closely, you have a reason to complain about your conditions here in your society in the United States of America. I can see it. But the truth is, things out there are worse. Exactly in same proportion, you can see. The whatever is your GDP in compared to the share of your share in the global community, it is in same proportion. There are some very unique problems. Daily production of petro energy, let's say oil, is approximately 100 million barrels a day. 25 million barrels a day is consumed by the United States of America. And I have no idea other than just a philosophical idea which is always subject to so-called scientists, you know, debate and dispute. World's 25% of inmates are in American prison system of the world. Look at. Why is that? And I can just go on giving you the list. And let me see. It was exactly 14 years ago, 15 years ago, I was fired up to write a book, which even I announced in the back of one of my book, of Touched by Fire. And if you go and look at the in the back of the Touched by Fire book, I have announced the publication of my next book, which I never did it. And the name of that book was supposed to be The Prophecies of the Sages. And somewhere still, the first draft of that book is floating around very carefully. In those days, I had done huge amount of research. Just as in 1998, 99, I did a bizarre research. That was what was happening in the world in the last 2,000 years at every approximately 144 years gap. And that research was focused on the historical facts around the Kumbh Mela, Mahakumbh Mela. That was amazing finding. Throughout the planet, there is something happens. 12-year cycle, then 12 by 12, that means 144-year cycle. So it is in that context. I did lots of work to look at the nature, to look at the state of the world. Okay. And definitely, from all that research, I can say, something is not so healthy about the collective consciousness of the planet today. Okay. The degree of insensitivity one has toward others It's just mind-blowing. Degree of carelessness one has toward oneself and toward others is mind-blowing. Today, we have time to be angry, to be fearful, to worry. We have plenty of time to be in the service of our devices. But we don't have time to look at whether or not we are truly happy and peaceful. We don't have time to discover the tools and means to remove pain and sorrow, especially that pain and sorrow which is caused by fear, anger, hatred, worry, grief. Those things we just ignore. We remain what you call oblivious. And when the result, the pain and sorrow reaches its climax, and climax means up to a certain level of pain and sorrow, we have adjusted to that. So because this is part of life. That's how we have been told for ages. As though if certain degree of pain must be there in order for us to qualify as a human. No? It does not need to be that way. We even don't bother to look at the legitimacy of this concept. However, when pain really hits, sorrow really hits, by that time we are so helpless, we know that we can't do anything. So what we do? We go to somebody else. How do we find a way where the world outside us is somewhat healthier and conducive to our personal health and well-being? What can we do so that the world outside us becomes conducive to finding our peace and happiness, so that we can become a better person, a happier person, healthier person? And that's where this particular topic is, comes in. And then the question is, what is the role of a human? Well, the problems here that we have, always the masters have said that all the problems that we face in life is self-created. It's like a super compact sutra that tells us the cause of human misery. So compact, so compact, so compact that it has to be deciphered, watered down, further stretched in order to understand it. In normal course of conversation, it is very bizarre to say that all the problems in our life is self-created. All miseries are self-created. Sir, I never did anything to lose my head. I never did anything that so that I can become senile. I never did anything, you know, to lose my eyesight. I didn't do anything to have cancer. I didn't do anything to have this problem. I never did anything. I have not done anything to establish a gun industry, gun factory. I never made any plan to hurt anybody, shoot anybody. Why somebody shoots my children and, you know, things? Therefore, I don't believe in this theory called self-created misery theory. That is why it has to be very, very much diluted, super diluted to get it. So here, look at in a very simplistic way in order to reach to the most subtle and yet potent causes, and therefore the removal of those causes, and ultimately, consequently, to find solution. When you look at the history, global history, the time between 1840 all the way to 1880s, 90s, 90s, somewhere around, you know, 44 years, 50 years of time is very amazing. Look at the history of India, China, Vietnam, you know, and entire Southeast Asia, and Europe, African countries. Extreme turmoil, and that turmoil was extreme exploitation that humanity can ever imagine. It was all over the planet. By that time, there was an amazing phenomena that had penetrated the collective consciousness all over the planet, and that particular collective consciousness can be defined by one simple fact: exploitation, cruelty. Okay. Where you just come and kill, conquer, which was more like loot rather than conquer. Destroy and leave all the mess for someone else to suffer from it. It was all over the planet. And that was the beginning of consumerism. And whatever you call consumerism at that time, that was its peak. Almost 150, 200 years ago it started. And since then it's escalating, getting, you know, faster and faster and faster and more potent and more concentrated. It has not come to an end. The process, the force that was propelling that process, that force is getting more and more refined. There was a time when actually you had to use your hand to let your hand reach somebody's pocket. Now you don't need that. Okay? You don't need that. We start something free on the internet, and then keep tightening, and long, you know, before you know, you realize that nothing is free. My God, I had forgotten the old wisdom that there is nothing like free lunch. Facebook, this, that. We start something very lofty, it looks like so lofty. Somebody's giving you free, you know, this much advertisement, this much access, this much access. 2 months later, 3 months later, 6 months later, then you realize, you know, that how much money you are paying to this organization called Facebook. No, if you are sending more than 10,000 emails, then you have to pay. Well, if you are doing this, then this. Oh, then search engine optimization, you have to pay this. Then it turns out that we are spending more money on advertisement on this media than we were paying in those days through postal service, let's say 20 years ago. The point is here, process is started few hundred years, 100 to 150 years ago, and it's gathering more and more and more and momentum. And we don't know when that momentum is going to reach its maturity. We think that it's really, we are really, really in Kali Yuga. We are deep in Kali Yuga. 5 years later, we said, no. Now we are in deep in Kali Yuga. Then 20 years later, now we are in Kali Yuga. Perhaps there is no end to it until we make an effort to put a stop process somewhere. No, there is no end to it. So in those days, OPMOR was there. Many of you may not know because Americans are, I have heard from the statistics, Americans are the poorest in history. And realizing this fact, now many universities are throwing out history department from those university campuses. Have you heard that? Yeah. It's going to happen very soon. There will be very few universities, those who will care for many of these departments of humanities. It doesn't fetch money, you know. Why this fine art? You need music, you need poetry, you need literature, you need history. For what purpose? You need MBA, you need, you know, which helps you train your mind, you know, how to grab money, you know. And by becoming a history teacher, philosophy teacher, you know, either you just go and live below the poverty level, or find some other subject. All these lofty things are part of the 18th century. You know, collective consciousness is telling us that's where we have reached. Do you think it is now? Is there still time? When a bunch of professors, teachers, philosophers can go and teach in the universities or in corporate world about corporate ethics and thereby convince people not to damage, hurt, and harm and terrorize the human consciousness anymore? Now, from that standpoint, tell me, isn't that this old saying that all miseries are self-created is really a valid saying? Is it valid or not valid? You tell me. Who created that? Who created cyber terrorism? Who created a system whereby every human being must live under fear? There is a beautiful saying in Hindi language, poetry. Barhat barhat sampat salil, man saroj badh jaye, ghatat ghatat phir so na ghatat, var samool kumhilaye. This is where we have reached. Barhat barhat sampat salil. As you keep consuming, more, what happens? Your mind keeps getting bigger in that particular respect. Bharat bharat sampat salil. So it's like a pond. Mind is like a lake. And in this lake, all kinds of things are there, and some beautiful things are there too. Beautiful blossom in the lotus is blooming in this lake. And the lotus has an amazing characteristic. It grows very fast, and when the water level is rising, it speeds up its growth and keeps rising. At the pace the water level is rising. And if it is too fast, if water level is rising, let's say 2 inch per hour, 3 inch per hour. So whenever it comes to a stop point, Then still the lotus may be growing 1 inch per hour, not 3 inches per hour. But it grows because it tries to stay above the water. You know, its leaves and the flower. But what happens is, and that's what exactly the mind is. But what happens is, ghatat ghatat suna ghate. But when the water level of that lake drops, this lotus doesn't shrink. But rather, it has a hard time supporting its own weight. Yeah, as long as it is at the water level, the water is helping, supporting it. But when the water level goes down, then all it just breaks and wilts. This is what happens to humanity. Huh? Everybody's rushing. Everybody has that justification for rushing. Many such things you see in the world we are doing only because our collective consciousness has adopted an ideology, a lifestyle based on that ideology, where we are consuming. And even the discussion, even the reminder that when you go that far and one day when not much is left, then what will happen? You will crash. Humanity will crash. No, it's not possible. By that time, we'll discover something else. Okay. That is how normally it is said. So, the collective consciousness is creation of human beings. Okay. Normally we feel that we are product of collective consciousness. In some sense, yes, it is true. But when you really look at more methodically and systematically, you find collective consciousness is creation of individual consciousness. You, me, all of us together. There was a time when we didn't know what to do with our garbage, small organization, and we are very mindful people, you know. We try our best not to waste our food in our plates, you know, considering how Americans eat. We are very, very humble, modest people here at the Himalayan Institute. We try our best to serve our plate in a manner which we know that this much will be able to eat. And still, despite of all that mindfulness, still we have good amount of waste. Then we figured out system. Nearby there is farm. It goes to pigs. But we did not know what to do with my rest of other things. Now we have, you know, different kinds of, you know, in our so-called town hall meetings, which we hold quite often, we discuss this whole thing, constant reminder, how not to waste, and if the trash is there, which kind of trash goes in which box get, etc. At least we have done something. It's because of collective consciousness. It started with one person. But person started making some, you know, comments, started requesting others, said, yeah, it makes very much sense. As a community, let's do it. Huh? Our priorities are, you know, we decide our priorities. Our priority is to create an environment which is peaceful, conducive to our healthy living, conducive to, discovering a calm and tranquil mind. We are not super rich, and yet, because of this collective consciousness which we embrace as a community, as a society, we created Allahabad campus, Khajuraho campus, we created Africa campus, and we have done many, many wonderful jobs here, there, in so many different places. Why? Collective consciousness. And it started with somebody. There is an ideology. We made a concerted effort to promote that ideology and communicate that ideology to our friends and our loved ones. You know, We are using the same technology which lots of porn people are using. We are using the same technology which is being used for, you know, hacking and breaking into others, computer systems. We are using the same technology. We are using Instagram. We are using YouTube. We are using, Facebook. By using the same very tools and means, we are promoting love and compassion. And it started because, we are able to do it. And the beginning point of that process is that there is a very, very coherent, very well-defined, very compact, very tangible philosophy. That collective consciousness highly influences our behaviors. How we stand, how we talk, what we say, how we communicate, what we emphasize. That becomes our life. So we, as a HI community, Himalayan Institute community, we are completely engrossed in that community, in that collective consciousness. And so is the case with other type of collective consciousness. So this is where we have reached. You can clearly see that we as human beings are really responsible in altering collective consciousness, positively or negatively, destructively or constructively. It is totally up to us. Other creatures don't have that opportunity because they are in different category. This freedom of will and the power of discrimination that we have, that puts us in different category, and that is where, we have a much, much greater responsibility. Either we can be with God or we can stand against God. Either we can be with nature or we can be against nature. It's totally up to us. Either we make a plan to continue living as human beings for a long time, or we can make a plan and implement a plan so that in next few generations, we all disappear. And before we disappear, we'll go through a very horrible phase. Some limbs and organs are missing. Our sentiments are falling apart. Our motherly instincts are being kind of confused. Fatherly instincts are going away. Teacherly instincts are gone. However, the point is here, things have changed. We have reached a point where our collective consciousness is completely shattered in so many different ways, and so many currents and cross currents are just, floating inside that collective consciousness. And everything has become unstable. Instability is hallmark of the collective consciousness in which, where we are living in. That instability, uncertainty is feeding our fear and insecurity. And all of us have become victim of that. And this kind of collective consciousness, contaminated by these forces, is completely creation of ours. That is the role of humanity in altering collective consciousness. We can do it positively or negatively. It's totally up to us. How do we do this? Where do we start? That will be the next topic. Thank you. God bless you all.